I'd like to pray before we get started this morning, if that'd be all right. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. And Lord, it just seems like there's a lot of distractions, a lot of things that could hinder the working of the Holy Spirit. And I just ask you, if you would, to kind of settle us down, settle me down, settle my mind down, and help me, Father, to preach this morning with clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Father, open the hearts of your people and do in their hearts and their lives what needs doing. You know the need. Father, you know what's needed this morning. Please take me out of the way. Hide me behind the cross. You must increase and I must decrease. Please do an eternal work in our midst. If you don't, there'll be nothing done. Oh God, please meet with us and do what needs doing. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we have for some time off and on been working our way through the book of 1 Samuel. And I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 19. The last message we preached, we talked about the adversaries David had fought, the lion and the bear. And everybody remembers David for fighting with Goliath and defeating Goliath. But the greatest enemy, I guess, David fought in maybe in his entire life, with maybe the exception of Absalom, and maybe including Absalom, was his conflict with Saul. His conflict with Saul. Goliath was outside of God's people. He was not part of God's people, but Saul was. And so there was such a battle that raged there. And so this morning, in chapter number 19, here's the thought that the Lord gave me: the expectations of a spiritual rebel. The expectations of a spiritual rebel. Now, here's what I mean by that. If you're going to rebel against God, what can you expect? I mean, we need to... I'll tell you what, let me just share a few things, then I'll say what I was going to say. Before we begin, I think it would be beneficial just to kind of go back and bring a few things to your mind, if you will remember, and I think most of you will. In 1 Samuel chapter number 13, Saul invades the priest's office due to impatience with the man of God. He becomes impatient with Samuel, and he invades the priest's office. And Samuel, after he committed, the Lord had told him to wait on Samuel, and he did for a long time, just about the entire time. And just shortly after he had invaded the priest's office, Samuel showed up. And so Samuel told him, "Your kingdom will not continue." If that's in chapter 13, verse 14, Samuel told Saul, "Your kingdom's not going to continue." Now, just let me just share this with you, and then I think it'll make sense when I get through. And then down in verse number 14, the latter part of the verse, "The Lord has another man to be king." Now, Saul knew that his kingdom was going to end, and he knew that God had another man to take his place. In chapter 15, Saul does not utterly destroy the Amalekites, resulting in Samuel telling Saul, the man of God telling Saul this, "The Lord hath rejected thee from being king." You've been rejected from being king. And then he said in verse 29, "The Lord's not going to change his mind." And so here is Saul, and he knows this. By chapter 19, he knows this. His kingdom's not going to continue. The Lord has another man. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king, and the Lord's not going to change his mind. In 1 Samuel 18 and verse 12, Saul knows the Lord was with David. Or verse 28, I should say. He knows the Lord was with David. He knows the Lord had departed from him. In chapter 19 and verse 23, he knows something of the power of the Spirit of God. You remember he went after David and the Spirit of God moved on him and he prophesied. Saul knows in chapter 20 and verse 31, Saul knows that Jonathan will not be the king as long as David lives. And the implication is that he knew David was going to be the king. He knew that. You can see that again in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 17 and 24. Chapter 24 and verse 20 and chapter 26 and verse 25. Now, preacher, why are you telling us that? I want you to understand this. Saul was no spiritual fool. There were some things he understood. There were some things he knew was going that God had said was going to happen. Your kingdom's not going to continue. Another man is going to be king, a man after my own heart, the Lord said. The Lord has rejected him from being king, told him that, or the man of God did. The Lord is not going to change His mind, Saul. You're not going to be king. Another man is. The Lord's not going to change His mind. Then Saul sees David being a wise man. And Saul knows what the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Saul knows David. Not just a man, but he knows David's supposed to be the king. Now, I can show you every one of those truths. I don't want to take time to turn to them this morning. My point is this. Saul was not spiritually ignorant of God's will. He was not ignorant of God's will. He knew it was not God's will for him to be the king. He knew God had a man after His own heart to be king, and he knew that man was David. But here's the thing that amazes me. In spite of knowing God's Word and God's will concerning the kingdom and the king, Saul rebels and fights against God. And what's amazing, it amazes me that puny man who knows, it'd been one thing if he didn't know, but he knows. The Bible makes it plainly clear that he knows the will of God, but he will not submit to that will. And you know, I just started thinking how many times I've done that in my life. How about you? Do you know the will of God, but you've just rebelled against His will? You think God said this, and you think you can do this, and you'll get by, and everything will be all right? Do you not know we reap what we sow? In spite of knowing that God was not going to allow him to be king, he still seeks to be king. In spite of the fact that God, he knows God wants David to be king, he's going to try to kill David. He's going to try to hinder what God wants done. And can I say to you, he's just a rebel. He's in rebellion against the will of God. Let me see if I can find that verse on rebellion. When Saul failed to destroy all the Amalekites or Amalekites, and when he saved the best sacrifices for himself, The Word of God says this, Samuel said it to Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we just blow that off sometimes. But to rebel against what God tells us to do is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, can I say he killed a lot of the Amalekites? He killed a lot of them. He destroyed them. He was partially obedient. The Lord told him to go kill them all, utterly destroy, is the way the Bible reads. And he did go. He did get an army together. He did kill a good portion of them. He partially obeyed. But the Bible says he was in rebellion, and his rebellion was as witchcraft. Now let me ask you this. Do you think partial obedience is rebellion against God? Now isn't that where we're at most of the time? Many times we'll do a part of what God wants us to do and claim that for total obedience. And I just want to say to you, maybe in this room right here, maybe we've got, it says, 77 people. According to the board, out of 77 people, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not somebody, good person. I don't think Saul was a wicked, a child molester or child abuser or anything like that. He just wanted his way. He would obey until it was not convenient for him, if I can say it that way. I just wonder, and God says, you're a rebel. And your rebellion is that's witchcraft. And I just wondered, I know I've been in rebellion to the Lord's Word before. And I just wonder today in this room of 77 people, if they counted right, if there is not a rebel, there's not somebody, you come to church, you partially obey, you do this, you do that, but the fact of the matter is, your partial obedience is rebellion to the Word of God. That's strong medicine. I know that's strong. That goes against what we think, but it does not go against what the Word, for what the Word of God says. What about, I've got some examples here. I think I'll just read them to you. Many women know it's not God's will for them to dress ungodly, but they do anyway. That's rebellion against God. Many women usurp authority over God-given authority in their life, and they refuse to be in submission. That is what the Bible says, that the wife is to be in submission to the husband. Many know they ought not gossip, but they do gossip. I will say this, getting on the social media and slamming somebody is just as much gossip as you verbally gossiping. To neglect reading your Bible and praying faithfully. I believe that's rebellion against God when He teaches us to be faithful at it. Many men know they ought to be a godly dad and a husband. They just half-heartedly attempt to be so. Tell your dad that's rebellion against God. They know they ought to put the Lord and His work first, but they've chosen not to. I'm going to tell you that's rebellion against God's Word. Well, I come to church, I do this, I do this. Brother Brian He made it so simple a little 3-year-old could understand it Sunday night. He's to have preeminence. He's to have first place. We don't give it to him. Can I tell you what that is? That's rebellion. And when you're in rebellion, that makes you a rebel. You can identify with Saul because you know. Now, it's one thing if you don't know, but it's another when you do. I'm convinced of this as I am standing here before you. There are men who know they ought to be preaching. There are preachers who know they ought, to be on the mission field. There are a multitude of people who know that God has a particular work for them, but they just don't do it. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. I just kind of want to lay this groundwork. I'm going to read this little note here, and then I'm going to get into the message. A rebel in rebellion to the known will of God for their life, many times as Saul, practiced partial obedience, which is still nothing more than rebellion. So if you're playing with God, that's the only way I know how to say it, and you're just partially obeying, what can you expect for your life? What? Well, here's Saul. God knows God's will. God wants him out of the kingship. He wants David to have it. Saul's well aware of it. And so Saul refuses what God wants and says, I want my way. I want my will. I'm going to fight against God. I'm going to try to kill David. And I'm going to try to keep the kingdom. So what can he expect? And what can you expect, spiritual rebel? If there is one in the congregation this morning, what can you expect? All right, let me give you a few of these. Number one, you can expect the progression of sin in your life. Sin is a growing thing. It's like cancer. The Bible reckons it to leaven. You put a little leaven in the bread and it just spreads through the whole loaf. And that's what sin does. Never stays the same. If you're hiding sin in your life, be sure of this. It's going to grow. And here's the situation with Saul. In 1 Samuel 13, Saul disobeyed God's message for him to wait on Samuel, and he jumped ahead of God. In chapter 15, Saul refused to totally destroy the enemy. In verse chapter 18, Saul becomes jealous over David because the women were singing, David has slain, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. In chapter 18 and verse 11, Saul attempts to murder David. In chapter 19, Saul encourages his family and those he has influence with to murder David. In 1 Samuel 19, he's unashamed of his sin. First, he tries to kill David, but through a ploy of giving one of his daughters to him to wife and requiring the foreskins of 100 Philistines, he tried to be crafty or subtle in his murderous attempt, but by chapter 19, he publicizes that he wants David. He wants David murdered, and he tells his son, Jonathan, help me murder him. And he tells his servants, you go murder him. My sin is growing in his life, don't you see? And it will yours. You use that little, what some say, those little four-letter words, it'll only get worse. My, how many times have I told you the drunkard don't start out drinking a case of beer a night. Starts out with one. Sin keeps getting it. The man who curses every breath he breathes, he starts out with one curse word. And we could just start picking sins and just show the progression in those sins. The point I'm making, if you're going to rebel against God and you're not going to repent and you're not going to get right, you be sure of this, dear rebel. Sin will progress in your life and will eventually dominate and control every move that you make. Now here's what you're saying, that won't happen to me. I guess that's what Saul said. I guess that's what he said. Sin progresses. Sin uncondemned in your life will lead you to commend that sin. I mean, Saul is putting dignity to his sin by making it a royal commandment to kill David. Isn't it amazing how we progress to the point that we dignify sin? Sodomy, alternate lifestyle, drunkenness, a disease, alcoholism. My, here's what I'm saying. These things that when man refused to confess and admit its sin, you'll begin to dignify and justify those sins in your life, and soon sin will take charge and control your life. I'm trying to say to you today that sin progresses. You have to deal with it. I would guess in this room that there's a multitude of people that all deal with pride. I'm being judgmental. It's unfair for me to say that. I don't know. But I know this, pride has taken over our churches. I've forgotten where I heard this at, but just not long ago, and it's so, I've said it myself in days gone by, there's more people in hell because of pride than anything else. I believe that. Now, I understand it's unbelief, but pride will not let them humble themselves and confess that they are what they are. And so, here's some expectations for the rebel against God. Number one, he can expect to see the progression of sin in his life. And then number two, that rebel who will not repent and get right with God will influence those nearest him negatively, spiritually speaking. Dad, if you're not right with God, you're going to influence your children negatively, spiritually speaking. I'm telling it right this morning. And here's the sad thing. It won't be those that's distant from you. It'll be those close to you. That's exactly right. That's who you influence. We say this, evil communications corrupt good manners. And what that means is those you run with, those you fellowship with, are going to affect how you act. Let me say this, if you're not right, let's flip that a little bit. If you're not right, those that run with you, you're going to corrupt them, don't you, son? It's so important that you repent. You just repent. Get right with God. So important. My, in verse 1, and Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. That's an ungodly act. God wants David to be king, and here's Dad encouraging his son to rebel against God. Why? Because he's a rebel against God. Amen. Oh my. You'll influence. You're a rebel. You'll influence those nearest you. Those about closest to you negatively from a spiritual standpoint. In verse 17 of chapter 19, he tried to get Michal. Notice what he says. Let me see if I can find the right verse where she's. And Saul, verse 17, Saul said unto Michal, that's his daughter, why hast thou deceived me and sent away my enemy that he has escaped? Here's Saul wanting his wife, wanting his daughter to betray her husband. Dear wife, your first loyalty is to your husband. Your loyalty from a God-given standpoint first is to God, I should say, but your first earthly loyalty is to your husband. And here's Saul saying, forget your home, forget your husband, be loyal to me, your father. There's been a lot of parents that's destroyed marriages of their children. Saul would have here if he could have, and he did. He finally gave her away, and you can read the story. It destroyed Michael's life. You can just go on through that. It's 1 Samuel 25 and 44. He ruined Michael's life, giving her as David's wife to another man. He ruined her. Why? Why? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say a spiritual rebel hurts, harms, maybe even destroys spiritually those closest to them. And if you're in rebellion against God, partial obedience, just playing at this thing, partially doing what God wants you to do, can I say you're a rebel? You're a rebel against God. And you can expect this in your life. You're going to hurt your children. You're going to hurt your spouse. You're going to hurt your church. You're going to hurt those in your community. You're going to hurt everybody that's close to you because you're not right. And evil communications corrupt good manners. And those you communicate with, you're going to corrupt them the wrong way. And that's what Saul's doing. Exactly what he's doing. You see, this is much more than just about you. Your life affects others. Your life affects your home life, your children, your spouse. Your life affects the church. Your life affects others, friend. And when you're in rebellion and you will not repent, you will affect them negatively. What can you expect? Expectations of a spiritual rebel. Expectations of a spiritual rebel. Number one, progression of sin. Number two, you will influence them ungodly that are closest to you. What else? You can expect a troubled mind. Amen. A troubled mind. How are you going to have the peace of God when you're not right with God? I mean, that's an elementary point. I mean, that's just something. That's something we all know about, I guess. Probably these kids know that. But if you're not right with God, you can't have any peace or contentment or satisfaction. Not really. Not really. You can expect a troubled mind. We see that in 1 Samuel 18, 8 and 9. I could read those to you. I'm not going to. Also in verse 12 of that chapter, in verse 15. Oh my, Saul could not control his jealousy. Couldn't control it. He lost control of it. I said a troubled mind. I could even say a perverted mind. You can expect a perverted mind. He couldn't control his emotions. His flesh was driving his emotions. This thing of rebellion, it's a serious matter. And it doesn't take much for you to qualify as a rebel. And that was the soberness as I prepared this message and I started looking. My, it just seemed like, Samuel, he waited 7 days for Samuel. It seemed like it was the right thing. The people were fleeing, but it was disobedience to God, don't you see? And it was viewed as rebellion. My, we see a perverted mind. Jealousy and envy and wrath and malice and murder, all from that partial disobedience, all those things began to spring forth in his life and pervert his thinking. Think about this. He thought he could fight against God. He thought he could fight against God in some way. He had expectations, false expectations, that he could defeat or overcome or come out victorious fighting against the will of God for his life. Well, you can expect a perverted mindset, if I can say it that way. I could say an unstable mind. You know most rebels against God are double-minded people. One minute, he's wanting to kill David. The next minute, he's, okay, David. David's okay. Jonathan talked to his daddy. And he said, yeah, you're right. He's not done anything wrong. He can stay. The next minute, he throws a javelin at him. The next occurrence, he throws a javelin at him. The next occurrence, he forgives him. So David cuts off part of his... He's on a mission to kill David. Goes in the cave. David cuts off part of his robe. And Saul says, you're more righteous than I, and I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. Just up and down. Up and down. Unstable. As the Bible says about Reuben, unstable as water. There's a lot of believers, unstable as water, and probably at the root of that. And I have to be careful. I'll be preaching my speculations to the Word of God. But there's a good chance at the root of that is rebellion against God. It produces unstableness, double-mindedness. You can see it in Saul. He wants David, and then he wants to kill him. He wants him back, he wants to kill him. He forgives him, he wants to kill him. Although he had nothing to forgive him for, he forgives him, he wants to kill him. He forgives him, he wants to kill him. Up and down, in and out, hot and cold. We see it all the time. I wonder at the heart of that if it's not just pure, old, simple rebellion against God. What can you expect? An unstable mindset. James 1 and 8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All his ways. Man, I believe it's in Proverbs. I thought I had it wrote down. I guess I failed to, but I've forgotten how it says a broken tooth. You can't have faith in a rebel. You can't do it. They're in and out, up and down. Why? They're not right with God. It's God that gives us stability to our lives. It's God that stabilizes us and helps us. It's God that stabilizes your home and helps your home. Yes, sir. It's God that stabilizes a church and helps a church. It takes God doing that, don't you see? This thing of rebellion. And my, then the unreasonable mind, I've already talked about that. A perverted mind, an unstable mind, an unreasonable mind, an uneasy mind. Oh, we could just talk. I'm telling you, you can expect a perverted or troubled mind. If you're a rebel against God. That's right. And you'll just be as unstable as water, bouncing around like a yo-yo. And so we see that the rebel He progresses in sin. And he influences negatively those closest to him. And he has a perverted, a twisted, a tangled, a warped, a mind that's just, I guess I'll just use the same word again, that's twisted in its thinking. But then we can expect this, if you're a rebel against God, you can expect conflict with the righteous. You can expect conflict. The righteous can't yield to your ungodly demands. They can't. There's been a lot of people that would state this church had I yielded to the preaching that they wanted me to do. And they didn't come out and say to me, preacher, but they knew what I was preaching. I knew it was affecting their life. I knew it. But I have to preach what God gives me. I can't step down. But what that does, that throws those who won't repent and those who are rebellious, that throws them into conflict with those who are righteous. They're going down two different paths, don't you see? You see, you know why Saul wanted to kill David? Because David was following God's will and Saul was following the will and desire of his flesh, don't you see? If you're a rebel against God, you can expect conflict with the righteous, with the good people. We all know the scripture in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. A true rebel against God will continually be in conflict with those who are righteous and trying to do right. No other way. It can't be any other way. They're going two different paths. One's following the flesh, one's following the Spirit of God, and they're in conflict, don't you see? I'll tell you, if I'm going to be in conflict, if I'm going to be in arms against anybody, I want to be against the wicked, not God's people. When you fight against God's people, you're fighting against God. That's right. You can go ahead and take your shots at me if you want. You better be careful. You may be fighting against the Lord. Because He fights my battles. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Better be careful. I understand sometimes there's issues have to be addressed. But I'm saying you better be careful about attacking God's little children. He takes their part. Here's what you can expect. You can expect a progression of sin. You can expect negative influence on those you love and who are closest to you. A perverted, troubled, unstable, unreasonable, uneasy mind. Say it. You can expect conflict with the righteous. I'll give you two more. You can expect a life of spiritual failures, blunders, and mistakes. God cannot bless rebellion. Can't do it. I mean, David could have killed Saul twice. Once in the cave, once when he put a deep sleep upon him. You know why he could do that? Because God couldn't bless Saul. He's a rebel. Just a rebel against God. What can you expect? Rebel, spiritual rebel, you can expect a life of spiritual failures, blunders, mistakes, tragedies, whatever other word you want to put with it. And keep in mind, Saul obeyed to a degree. You say, this is pretty harsh, that what he's doing. Saul obeyed to a point, but that sin just kept getting worse. And then lastly, let me give you this. What can you expect as a spiritual rebel? you can expect the sin unto death. What happened to Saul and his sons? Was it not? I think they went to a premature grave. Does that still happen? I believe it does. You don't play with God. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother see a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Here's what I'm saying to you. Once you've crossed that deadline, you've committed that sin unto death, I think God's going to take you out of here. That's frightful to me. That's frightful to me. Now, I'm going to tell you why I think he dealt harshly with Saul. Because he knew. He knew. He was in a position of leadership. By the way, I think God expects more out of leadership.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to tell you that. I believe that. But these principles apply. What are the spiritual expectations? Or the expectations of a spiritual rebel? I'll get it out in a minute. Number one, progression of sin in his life. Number two, you will influence in an ungodly manner those closest and nearest to you. Number three, you'll have a perverted, twisted, warped, whatever word you want to use, mindset. A mind that's unstable. A mind that's unreasonable. A mind that's uneasy. A mind unable to bridle the emotions. You can expect a troubled mind. You can expect conflict with the righteous. You can expect a life of spiritual failures, blunders, mistakes, whatever word you need to use there. You can expect the sin unto death. I could talk about the insensitivity to temptations. But I'm not. I'm going to stop right there this morning. I believe that's what God wanted me to give you. And so I give it to you. Let's bow our heads. Just play lightly on the piano. If you would. The altar's open if you need the altar this morning. Thank you.